I have to make this very clear with my comment. I meant Maharaj is trying his best. I meant all of the younger devotees in your, whilst you're young, take care that you become Krishna conscious. The body will fall into the ashes. They could care of it as you, you know, so that they have a good instrument. Translation. When the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fluid activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body perfect. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, which presents the beginning of spiritual understanding. Dehinasmim yata dehe komaram jovanam jada tatadihan talapartya nirastatvanamuvyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. A person or an animal is not the material body, rather the material body is the covering of the living being. Bhagavad Gita compares the body to a dress and elaborately explains how one changes dresses one after another. The same Vedic knowledge is confirmed here. The living being, the soul, is constantly changing bodies, one after another. Even in the present life, the body changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. Similarly, when the body is too old to continue, the living being gives up this body and, by the laws of nature, automatically gets another body according to his fruitive activities, desires and ambitions. The laws of nature control this sequence, and therefore as long as the living entities under the control of the external material energy, the process of bodily change takes place automatically according to one's fruitive activities. Vasudev, therefore, wanted to impress upon Kamsa that if he committed the simple act of killing a woman, in the next life he would certainly get a material body, still more conditioned to the sufferings of material existence. Thus Vasudev advised Kamsa not to commit sinful activities. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamagun, obtains a lower body. Karanam guna sangas yaha. Sorry, karanam guna sangas yaha sarasa yoni janmasu. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the contamination of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the mode of ignorance and sinful activities, dushkriti, in the next life by the laws of nature, one will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate all this with sattva-gun and not indulge in raja-gun or tamagun, rajas, tamo, tavaha, lusty desires and greed, keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of sattva-gun or Shuddha Sattva-gun. One is advised to be city Shuddha Sattva Guna devotional service. For thus, one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nikti Namine Namaste Sati Devi Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Shatadine Vyasri Vishnu Kare Kanya spoken by Vasudeva to King Kamsa in order to convince him that he should not perform the sinful activity of killing his own sister Devaki at the day of her marriage. And his argument is, why should he kill her? Well, so you, Kaksa, that's what Vasudeva is saying, you live eternal. This material body, this position of being the king of the all these dynasties which Kaksa brought under his control, this is only a very, very temporary situation. You should not, therefore, do activities which later bring you to a next material body so that you have to suffer again. And Prabhupada, he says, lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of Sattva Guna or Shuddha Sattva Guna. One is advised to be situated in Shuddha Sattva Guna devotional service, for thus one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So, this is the instruction of Vasudeva. Our desires in this temporary position of material existence can be so binding that we will have a very difficult time to recover from the bondage. To tell you a very heart-rendering story which makes this clear, I want to draw to your attention to one person called Nishikant. He grew up as a little retarded child. We have here in our temple our nice Janusama Chiva Prabhu, who one day will be in great kirtan here. This is already sure. Does not come to any kirtan without his karatas. He is a very awake boy, but this particular boy we are talking about was a little retarded, mentally retarded. And one day his father, being so frustrated to have a foolish son like this, took him into the forest and was desirous to kill him. What he did is, he couldn't really, you know, strangle him or put a knife into the little boy. He just threw him into a well, which was there in the forest, and put a huge big stone over this well. When he came home, he told his mother that he had fallen asleep with the boy next to him, and when he woke up, the boy was no longer there. He had gone into the forest, and wild animals must have eaten the mentally retarded boy. I think Sugriva, the initiator of our Gurukul initiative, is shocked by hearing such a thing. A terrible parent-son relationship. So, his wife could never really believe that the little boy who she loved very much had just wandered off in the forest and died. And every year, when the supposed day of the death of the boy was, she went into the forest and cried. All night she cried, "My dear son, why have you left?" So one day, when she was crying like this, she heard a voice from underneath the earth. "Mother, I'm here!" And she first thought, a ghost. And but then found the stone which was covering the well, took the stone off, looked in, and there she found a beautiful young grown-up boy, about 15 years or so. And something reminded her of her son. So she said, "Son, is it you? Are you my Naichi Karma?" "Yes, mother, I'm here." So she immediately got some wood together so that he could ring the bell, come out. And she looked at the boy, who was beautiful, and said, "Dear boy, what has happened with you? You look so beautiful. You used to be mentally retarded." "Oh," said Naichi Karma, "I had some realizations. You are not dead. Is it really you?" "Yes. Your father, he told this story. Well, father didn't like me because I meant to be retarded. I was a retarded. I was too good to be in the Dutch. Therefore, he took me, threw me in the well. But don't be angry at the father. I deserve it. I was a great sinner. Let me tell you my story." And then this boy told a very amazing story which illustrates the nature of fruitive activities and how they bind the eternal soul to take birth and death again in the material species. As we will hear this story of Naichi Karma, we will be shocked. Well, once I was a Brahmana boy, a Brahmana with very good intention, but unfortunately by bad association I fell down and became a woman hunter. I became so shameless that I even would not be afraid of associating with prostitutes. One day I happened to go to another man's wife and we satisfied our desires, but the Mush, the husband, found out about it and was very angry and came to the place where I was living and then violently killed me. My next body was the body of a tiger. It so happened that I walked in the forest when the king's man came and catched me and brought me to the zoo to look at me. One day, the king and all his people had gone to some other place, and the young princess came there to look at the different animals. As she looked at my strongly built body, she must have felt something like appreciation and maybe something like desire. And I also felt great desire to enjoy with this most beautiful of young girls. The princess understood the situation and opened the gate to enjoy a sexual relationship. Because this is something not for the children. We will have something later. It will become a little decent after the while. It's a very heavy story. She wanted to enjoy sexual relationships. By the way, those of you who are medically interested, syphilis comes originally from the dog. this is the private part for those lusty fellows who go against the laws of nature. When I went out of the tiger, out of the cage, full of desire, the king's guards saw me and took a lance and killed me. They misunderstood my romantic conditions. A little later, I came up as a donkey, and I was working for a washer's man. One day I brought the beautiful wife of the washerman to the river, and she took a bath in the river. When I saw her immaculate bond rinse, I jumped behind her full of his desires. I forgot that I couldn't swim and I drowned. My next life, and then he goes to another life similar to this, and I don't want to get into the details because otherwise our audience is not used to such heavy stories. Early in the morning they will get appetite failure. The point here is, just see, and because I was always so sinful and so full of desires, now in this life, in order to teach me a lesson, the Lord has arranged it that I was a little retarded, so that I couldn't commit the same mistakes again and again and again. I'm very, very thankful to my dear Lord for having arranged this for me. And I'm also thankful that Father threw me into the well, because now there I could think very deeply about material life. How have you lived? Said the mother. Well, the well had sweet waters, and I was drinking it, and I was picking something like the vegetables, cucumbers, from the side of the well, and nourished my body. In this way, I had enough to eat, and I'm strong and healthy now. This is interesting. And you were really not angry at your father? No. He just acted under the laws of karma, which are ultimately under the full control of the dear Lord. So this is a mature, this is a realization which a devotee of Krishna should also have, without necessarily having to undergo the same experiences. Maybe we all have been such a simple person. Maybe in our last lives we were fully engaged in material sense gratification. Who can say for sure? Only the super soul knows. But one thing we shall all understand, that our present body and our present situation is not really, it's not there by accident. Krishna conscious devotee is not really so interested to reduce suffering of the material body, because he understands that this body has been given to him, and it has certain disadvantages due to the law of karma. He voluntarily accepts these sufferings which come with this body, with the mind, as a result of his previously performed activities. In this way, the devotee is never at a loss. Even when the devotee suffers, so-called, the devotee is a winner, because the suffering, his previous sinful activities get atoned, they get away. Many times when in Vrindavan devotees fall very sick, they become heavy in the sickness. They say, well, now with this insignificant amount of suffering, the results of billions of lifetimes in sin are taken away. And in this way, the devotee is also happy in suffering. Of course, as much as is possible, he tries to preserve the material body for the service of the Lord, knowing well that now the body is the propriety of Krishna. It's no longer his. He's given it in the service of Krishna. Therefore, he takes care as much as possible. But as it said here, the present body destiny is not a very hopeful one. It turns to dust. And then is again reduced to five elements. Therefore, a devotee wants to become Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. And that is his main focus. We don't want to be healthy, materially attached persons, but we want to understand how we can develop our inherent, our dormant love for Krishna. And we do want to understand this by relating to the Lord in the relationship of a servant. This is called dasya. For every devotee who wants to start his relationship with the Lord, Sri Srinath Madan Mohan, he will start with the relationship of servant, so that he is then accepted by the Lord, and further progress can be made. Just want to
say something, how a devotee sees this material existence. I want to read to you one of my favorite prayers from Srimukha Muchikunda. And I think by hearing this, we all will be directly profited. As you all know, still we don't need to. We have heard, there is a lot of information on what Muchikunda is. Here we just want to say he is a very dear devotee of the Lord. The Lord gave him his darshan once. He said something very nice about his material existence. My dear Lord, I wasted so much of my valuable lifetime without any benefit. My misconception of life having been intensified, I began to think of this material body, which is just a bag of flesh and bones, as the all in all. And in my vanity, I was like a dog who believes that he has become the king of human society. This misconception of bodily life, I began to travel all over the world, accompanied by my military strength, soldiers, charioteers, elephants and horses, assisted by many commanders and puffed up by power. I could not trace out your lordship, who is always sitting within my heart as the most intimate friend. I did not care for you. And this was the fault of my so-called exalted material condition. I think that, like me, all living creatures are careless about spiritual realization and are always full of anxiety, thinking, what is to be done? What is next? But because we are strongly bound by material desires, we continue to remain in craziness. As a time factor, my Lord, you end all our activities as a hungry black snake swiftly swallows up a small rat without any leniency. Due to the action of cruel time, the royal body, which was always decorated with gold ornaments during life and which moved on a chariot drawn by beautiful horses, or on the back of an elephant, nicely decorated with golden ornaments, and which was advertised as the king of human society, that same royal body decomposes under the influence of inevitable time and becomes fit for being eaten by worms and insects, for being turned into ashes, for the stool of an anvil. Then he says how that the powerful king became a slave. Do you want to hear this? It's very, very good to hear how the king who became a slave. By the way, we are all like this. I may be a powerful king, and yet when I come home after conquering over the world, I become subjugated to many material conditions. It may be that when I come back after being victorious, all subordinate kings come and offer their respects. But as soon as I enter into the inner section of my palace, I myself become an instrument in the hands of the queens, and for sense gratification I have to fall down at the feet of women. The material way of life is so complicated that before taking the enjoyment of material life, one has to work so hard that there is scarcely an opportunity for enjoying is a beautiful prayer which you can find in the chapter 50 of the Krishna book. This point which Mujukunda raises, the danger of material desires, is also illustrated in a heart-rendering confrontation between father and son, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. As you well know, Hiranyakashipu tried many attempts at the life of Prahlad, but Prahlad was able to overcome. Prahlad was saved all the time. So, at this time, Hiranyakashipu asked his son, "My dear son, where do you get your power from?" And Prahlad said, "From the same source from where you are getting your power from, Father." "There is no God." "Yes," said Prahlad, "there is God. He is everywhere." "Nonsense. Let your God protect you now as I kill you with my sharpened sword." And he ran across and took the head and wanted to sever the cup there. "Let him protect you now." And he said, "See, there is no God." But I said, "No, he's not the one." So he understood. He was on the platform, on a very exalted platform of Krishna consciousness. It is described that Prahlad Maharaj was on the platform of Bhava, that is the beginning stage of love of God. And on the platform of Bhava, a devotee has revelations of the Lord. The Lord appears before him in other words, in momentary visions. And when Prahlad said, "My Lord is everywhere," the Lord appeared for him. At that moment, he looked out of the pillar. And it is described that he, I don't know how to say, twinkled with his eyes in a very encouraging way. And then this, here we have, "There, in this pillar, nothing, just the swell out came." Hiranyakashipu, Lord Shrinadev, easily took the life force from him. So, it all, let us come back to Astarada Prabhu's lecture. Astarada Prabhu has said, has instructed us, the advancement of Krishna consciousness is really dependent on the receiver, the receptacle. And that is a fact. We are all this at all times under the control of the Lord. Our senses, our mind, our body, everything is the Lord's property under His full control. In Krishna consciousness, we can desire to become qualified to actually develop a relationship to that Lord, who anyways controls the whole material scenario. And that means we have to become a worthy recipient. See, in the Ganga River, there grows a beautiful flower which takes water from the Ganga River and spreads a nice odor. And at the same Ganga River, there also grows a poisonous plant which takes the same water from the Ganga River. The Ganga water is immaculately pure, but different receivers make different things out of the water. So the mercy of the Lord flows for all of us. It is there for everyone. But only we approach the Lord in the mood of a humble servant, a surrendered servant,
then we will be able to receive the mercy of the Lord and make advancement in our life. If we do not take to this process, we will misuse the material energy in our human body for sense gratification. We will misuse, in other words, the opportunity the Lord has given to us, just like the poisonous plant who extracts the water and converts it into poison. Srila Rupa Goswami prays, therefore, "My dear Lord, I have fallen into the well of my material desires, where on the bottom the snake of lust, poisonous snake of lust, is sitting. Now please throw the rope of devotional service down to me, who am suffering untold tortures, and release me from this well of material desires." The non-devotee, he does not use the energy of the Lord, but the devotee uses all the energies of the Lord in his service, in the Lord's service, and therefore makes his life perfect. Kamsa did not understand this. Therefore, Vasudev just very carefully pointed out to him, "Don't be a fool. You are only for a short time here in this body, but your desires and activities, when they are fruited, karmic, they will carry you to Dehantaram, another body made of material elements, the Anupravya. You will receive the results of your former activities." So, Hare Krishna, this is a natural conclusion of this. I know we have not heard much new information today, but it is important to still discuss these things regularly, so that we always become again reconnected to the spiritual understanding. Spiritual life starts really at the point when one understands that one is different from the material body. So, do you have any questions regarding these are related subjects?
So the devotee should not make endeavors to avoid material suffering?
That's another Prabhu's question is, well, should the devotees not make any endeavors to avoid material suffering? Well, there are prayers that tatenukam pam susumikshamana bunjana ivatma kritam vipakam vipakvati vidadhan namaste sajivita mukti padi sadhayavak. This means one who accepts that the sufferings come due to his own previously performed material activities, but who nevertheless continues to serve you, Rikva Prabhu, with his heart, with his voice, with his body, like our Bhakti Baba Maharaj. So he is such a nice example. Even though he is not capable, he is wanted to serve the Lord by talking about Krishna consciousness to the assembled Vaishnava. So that should just continue, and then Sajivita Mukti Pade Sadhaya Bhakti. But just continues, even in suffering, understanding this point, no? Then one becomes a rightful inheritor a claimer of the Lord's mercy. So we should accept our suffering as something which is has been done previously and by our own karmic activities. Yeah. And continue worshipping Krishna. This is the advice of the verse. Now I want to tell a little esoteric realization. Here I will enter the realm of philosophical speculation. There is mental speculation, and this is what we try to avoid in Krishna consciousness, and there is philosophical speculation. That is where we take the philosophy and try to apply it to the life. The goal of philosophical speculation is to come to Krishna. I have often seen, this is a little personal, one has to say something interesting, something new sometimes, that when one really asks, why am I suffering like this? What did I do wrong? If this comes, usually after some time, one gets some kind of realization in the heart, what could be the cause. And when one understands it, the suffering becomes reduced. I once had this experience coming back from Mayapur, and I had typhus with me, and it was very dangerous. That was really the time in my life where I thought that this will be too much, this will just kill me, this disease. I've been in many dangerous situations and have experienced much pain in this life already, fortunately. Okay. But that was really the high point of it all. You can't imagine, typhus is so bad. You have headaches that even to move one limb of the body feels like an explosion of pain. You can just lie there. The pain is so strong, you cannot sleep. It's not possible to sleep. So, when you have this for 6 days, you get almost crazy from pain and no sleep, you know. Chanting takes a whole day. That's all you can do. And it was, and they didn't diagnose the disease. They didn't think typhus, you know, that's such an old disease. And then, anyways, I was really trying to find out Krishna. Shall I die now? Like, you know, I've not even started my devotional life in Krishna consciousness. Will you not give me another chance? And so on. I was very upset, even with the Lord. And then I understood, well, there is a cause why you are suffering like this. And once I understood the cause, which is extremely private, and I think that no one is interested because it's a personal understanding the cause, the next day, the next just the next hour or so, the hospital, the doctor came in with a big smile. So, my dear monk, your suffering is over. You have typhus. Here is your medicine. And then they gave them these heavy medicines, which, you know, nowadays you can cure typhus very easily. And you know, you first have to know that it is typhus. And took it, and you know. The same is about the first night that I could see it again. So, this is my private, personal understanding that we can learn from suffering what we do wrong or what we did wrong, and once this is done, then the suffering has fulfilled its purpose and either will disappear or it will go on, but we won't be disturbed any longer. These two possibilities. We can't expect Krishna to just take everything away for us. He's not our only supplier. Either it disappears or we can just manage to go along with it. This is a personal thing.
This
two attempts, this happens. By suffering, the mind becomes totally disturbed and agitated. But the mind is agitated by something, it cannot be properly known. Yes, but they are great devotees. You remember Vasudeva, the leper? He had worms in his body. Thinking of him and the leeches. It worms in his body. And when he danced, the worms fell out of the body. And his reaction was not, but he put them back. They should eat something. So he was not disturbed. Imagine. He thought, this body is anyway food for the living entity. And it's meant for service of others, so we might as well, do the service. He was not cool. There are many examples of to accept the suffering. Never let us become overwhelmed by suffering. Children need a daily class of love and affection. And if they get it, they can overcome. It helps. If the children very easily can overcome suffering because of this strong drink of affection. But if they